Sebastian, good morning.
Good morning, Simon.
Thanks very much. Pleasure to get you on the program again.
Yeah, my pleasure too.
So last time we spoke, we were discussing largely what was de-extinction, how it would work, and some of the ethical concerns involved. Just to give us a little bit of an idea, though, in the case of these white rhinos, what kind of process has actually been used to try and bring these animals back from the brink?
If I remember well, the northern rhinos were on the verge of extinction. There's only two females alive now. The last male died a couple of years ago, but they had harvested some sperm, I guess. But there is a population, a southern white rhino, that is like southern Africa. Yeah. And so basically what they did is harvest some eggs from a northern rhino female, and then I can't remember exactly. They used some sperm from the southern rhino and mixed that together. I think the success rate was very, very low. I mean, IVF is usually very tricky. In this case, it was like less than 2% of the eggs were successfully moved onto the embryonic stage. And then they reimplanted the embryos into surrogate females, and apparently it worked. Which is great news. I mean, it's a very nice scientific fit.
It is a fascinating scientific exercise, but is it a viable way of bringing very, very endangered species back?
Yeah, in my opinion, it is a very desperate kind of measure, if you want, because whatever you do, you're going to manage to have maybe a few new individuals. In this case, it's a hybrid, so it's not even the pure strain, I would say, or the pure species. And the problem is, if you don't have enough individuals, then the genetic diversity is going to be rather low, which for the survival of a species is usually quite detrimental.
It is interesting that you bring that up, because as you say, it's a hybrid species rather than the original animal. And we've seen cases with other animals that have been protected, you know, they were maybe at the brink of extinction and not using scientific methods like that, but protected so the species would grow again. They've already seen a huge reduction in the kind of genetic makeup that remains for the species. So in a case like this, they've had to take very specific genetic makeup, and they're really never going to be able to find that variety again. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, exactly. And if I may, I mean, I can like throw a rock in the pond, because hybridization is actually something that happens quite often in animal evolution, including humans, to be honest. I mean, you've probably heard about the Neanderthals and Denisovans, those archaic hominins that hybridized with us, with like the anatomically modern humans. And in the animal realm, in mammals, in reptiles, in a lot of animals, hybridization is actually a driver of evolution. So I would say, you know, that if the species is on the verge of extinction, the best thing to do is to actually hybridize with the neighbors and then, you know, like improve your genetic pool. Yes, the species itself is going to be kind of lost, but it moves on to something else. You know, I mean, this is evolution in the process.
I guess that's the distinction that a lot of people are kind of stuck between. Does the species actually move on because there are animals that continue to bear these genetic traits, these certain features that were endemic to the animals themselves, or is the species lost and this is just our way of even memorializing them by creating hybrid species in their image?
Yeah, I agree completely with you, actually. And to be honest, I mean, conservation biology should not be just aiming to preserving what exists already. You know? And it's not because we have put a name on something for the past like 200, 300, 400 years that we need to keep it forever. Somehow, somewhere, life evolves, species change, some get extinct, some go extinct, some others arise. So it is always very funny, because we are humans, and what is our lifespan? Like maybe 80 years? And we usually try to maintain things that we know over that period of life. And life life is not the same. Nature is not the same.
Mm.
It is a different time scale, and things definitely change. I mean, personally, what I would love to see is some efforts to preserve habitats, and you know, massive efforts as well to connect those habitats. The main issue with species extinction today, really, is that the habitat is shrinking. Okay, I mean, we humans have like our cities and farmlands, and we tend to deforest or to destroy a little bit what's going on around us, and then pollute whatever is left. And the animals just need space. You know, then they need like connectivity between the different habitats where they are, a chance to actually meet someone to hybridize with. And this is what's missing at the moment. So yes, we can go crazy and use technology and do some crazy, fantastic ideas, you know, performance. It's something very nice. But I think the deeper issue is really the environment where those animals live. I mean, this is where we should aim. You know, this is what we should preserve or conserve, whatever you want to use.
Absolutely. Bastien, thank you very much. Really appreciate you joining us again, having a chat with us about this one.
Yeah, thanks, John. That was a pleasure.